Shrin Van Grinan Sman Svaram Yam Shad Krintayam Namani Rupani Chamangalani Te Kriyasu Yastvach Charna Ravindayor Avishta Cheta Nabhavaya Kalpate Shrinvan. Constantly hearing about the Lord. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno. Grinan. Chanting or reciting the holy name of the Lord and his activities. Samsmarayan. Remembering, constantly thinking of the Lord's lotus feet and his form. Cha. And Chintayan. Contemplating the transcendental activities of the Lord. Namani, his transcendental names. Rupani, his transcendental forms. Cha, also. Mangalani, which are all transcendental and therefore auspicious. Te, of your lordship. Kriyasu, and being engaged in the devotional service. Yaha, he who. Twat charna aravindayo. At your lotus feet. Avishta Cheta, the devotee who is completely absorbed in such activities. Na, not. Bhavaya, for the material platform. Kalpate, is fit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, and contemplate and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. How bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, iha yasya harer dasye, by his activities, his mind, and his words, karmana manasa gira, may stay in any condition of life, nikila svapivatsastu su, and yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated. Jivan mukta uchite. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana parasarve na kutasuna vivyate. Because the devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he is not afraid of being materially embodied. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahaitu Ki Twayi. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Shikshastika 4. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharata made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop. Although some slight chastisement was given to him, because of his negligence. Narada Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost. Whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in service. Bhagavad Gita 9.14 therefore recommends that one always engage in at least chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Satatam kirtiyantomam yatantascha ridrida vrata namasyantascham bhaktya nityukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly Acharyas, and the Vedic literature. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, Chite, Kariya, Aikya. One should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatan Goswami. Quotes from the Padma Purana: Avaishnava mukod girnam putam hari katam ritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarposchitam itapaya. One should strictly follow the injunction and never try to hear from Mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, or so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends Shri Guru Parashraya. One must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 7.128. A juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions, as it is. Shravanam is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnava sadhu, guru and shastra. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all activities are concentrated on distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he may become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yas tach charnaravindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. So the translation again. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and will constantly hear, chant, and contemplate and cause others to remember your transcendental name and forms are always on the transcendental platform. Thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada mentions that hearing is very important, but we have to hear from the right source. And we have to have the right attitude. Right source, of course, is one who's fully conscious of Krishna and also one who's trying to become conscious of Krishna by following the process given by our acharyas. Ultimately, hearing is to hear not only what's being said, but how it's being said. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not just an intellectual exercise, it's actually feeling. And unless we feel for Krishna, then we'll be naturally we'll have feelings for other things outside of Krishna. So how to feel for Krishna? Well, we have to hear how we can gradually perform the process of devotional service so that gradually we can actually hear with feeling and try to feel. Generally, because, well, that depends upon faith. If we have faith that Krishna and his name are non-different and that these instructions can take us to Krishna, then we'll hear it with a certain attitude. And if we just take it as something ordinary, then we'll hear with another attitude. In other words, we won't hear as well if we just take it mechanically. Because we have a personality like Srila Prabhupada who's actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and then if we hear, then we'll be able to experience to a greater degree Krishna consciousness. Still, Prabhupada has given us instructions that we can repeat, and they can help us, by following them, come to the platform. Then we can eventually hear Srila Prabhupada, because everything depends upon hearing. If we hear from our acharyas in disciple succession, then we'll actually experience what they're experiencing. Because their sound vibration is carrying the same experience that they're having. So sound is so important, because as we heard, sound goes all around this room right now. And it conveys a certain impression as it enters into our heart. And it changes our mood, it changes our awareness, it changes our consciousness according to what sound we're listening to. The question is, where do we want to go? What is our destination? What is our goal? If our goal is to go back to Krishna, then we have to hear from Krishna and from his representatives. And as it mentions here, that Krishna, he has a purpose for this material universe. The whole purpose of the material world is sacrifice for Krishna. And sacrifice for Krishna begins with manmana, just trying to hear, try to understand, try to engage our minds in hearing. So that's a great step. As I mentioned, if we're not humble, and humble means if we think we're this body, then we'll think, well, why do I have to listen? I'm already so important and so great. I have so many attributes. What could anyone tell me? So without humility, no one can hear anything. And if we're humble, if we understand the value of Krishna consciousness, and we understand our position as being 1/10,000th the size of Tipihara in size, trapped in a very big body, that would be good for us to get out of and into a spiritual body, into a spiritual existence, then we'll hear with a different attitude. And what are we hearing about? Not only the glories of Krishna, but as we become more advanced in hearing Krishna's glories, then we become more tolerant. Tolerant of our minds, which are trying to distract us. Tolerant of our senses, which are trying to distract us. We're not so much influenced by the gross and subtle material senses. And we can go on humbly hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then, the sign that we're actually hearing and chanting nicely is that we develop an appreciation for others. We start seeing everyone and everything in relationship to Krishna. And for those who engage in Krishna's service, we appreciate how their activities are actually based on humility and tolerance and appreciation of other devotees. So we learn to become appreciative of the association of devotees that we have. And when one gets a higher taste, then one can give up the desires for the lower tastes. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasindarim, kavitam vajagirisha kamaye, mama janmani janmani share, bhavatad bhakti ahai tu ki twayi. So we can go up to the becoming interested in pure consciousness rather than external things. Then eventually one can come to the platform of Ayinandana Tunuja Kinkaram, Patitamam Vishame Bhavam Budo, appreciating or at least acknowledging or realizing or admitting or accepting that the material world is not the place that we're supposed to be in. Stop trying to become comfortable here and expect that if everything goes along today as it went yesterday, if there's food and a place to sleep and no one bothers me, then life is good, peaceful. And if someone bothers me, if someone says something I don't like, then I become very disturbed if things don't go the way I want them to. So as long as we're on the material platform, we're not humble, we're not tolerant, we're not appreciative of the Krishna all around us and how Krishna is working, then of course we're going to be attached to our material possessions. But if we become higher in consciousness than the material possessions, we see don't really make my consciousness any higher. In other words, when we get a taste for a higher consciousness, for something higher than hankering and lamentation, then there is no need to become disturbed whether we get something or we lose something. Then we can start understanding Krishna's compassion if we work for Krishna's mission. In other words, we have to do something. If we're not working for our missions, then we can work for Krishna's mission, and Krishna's mission is full of compassion. And if we enter into Krishna's mission, then anukampam, then Krishna will give us a taste of what his compassion is. We'll actually see that those who are not Krishna conscious, that they're wasting their lives unnecessarily. And if we're not envious of them, thinking, well, if they're wasting their lives and I'm not, then I'm better than they are. So let them waste their lives so I can feel better than they are. No, everyone is originally part of the big, big spiritual family where everyone's pleasure, when everyone is giving pleasure to Krishna, and that pleasure that Krishna is receiving and distributing to others, everyone is contributing to that. So the more devotees there are who are contributing to Krishna's pleasure, the more the pleasure increases. So everyone has a part to play for increasing Krishna's pleasure, which will increase everyone's pleasure. So everyone is very valuable if they're engaging in increasing Krishna's pleasure, because they'll increase everyone's pleasure. And if we look at others as competitors in our plan, in our agendas, whatever they may be, then of course we think, the less competitors I have, the more I'm making advancement, the more I surpass my competitors. But this is all a material concept. Therefore, if we actually, those who can see, Anu, Atmopamena Sarvatra Samam Pashati Arjuna Sukham Yadi Vadukam Si Yogi Paramomotaha. That he is a true yogi, or Arjuna, who can see the true equality of all living entities, both in their happiness and distress. So why should we wish anyone to be in distress? What benefit is there for us if others are in distress? But if people are happy, then we'll become happy. If we make them happy by giving them Krishna conscious, then Krishna will make us happy. He'll be compassionate to us if we show some compassion. Of course, we may not feel very much, being covered by the modes of material nature. But if we just work for Krishna's mission, work for Krishna's purposes, then that, and Krishna's purpose is one thing. He wants everyone to become happy. He wants everyone to become happy by becoming linked up with the source of all happiness, namely Krishna himself. So he wants to spread Krishna consciousness, not for his benefit, because he's unlimitedly happy, because he wants everyone to be happy. And if we become his instrument in doing so in some way, as Prabhupada mentions, and ultimately it's by distributing transcendental knowledge, especially in the form of transcendental literature. But also the holy name, or organizing around it, this is all supporting the distribution of transcendental literature, but it culminates in this distribution of transcendental knowledge, of which the sound vibration coming from someone like Srila Prabhupada is the best sound vibration. And they're manifested, they're embodied in the books. Books are transcendental sources of transcendental sound vibration coming from Srila Prabhupada and his purports, which when we hear them and we accept them, then we can actually hear Krishna's purports, Krishna's instructions within the heart, not only within the book, but also within our heart. Everything will be revealed. Therefore, if we want to be compassionate, at least to ourselves, then we have to actually work for Krishna's mission. And that's first we're hearing, then we're trying to become Krishna's devotee, we're trying to worship Krishna, we're trying to develop spiritual habits, we're trying to give up our bad habits and give up bad association. And ultimately, when we do that, then we'll become inspired to spread Krishna consciousness to others. Because we'll see that there's no greater happiness for Krishna and ultimately for everyone by doing so. And even if we don't feel that, at least intellectually, we should understand that. And that could help motivate our whatever services we're doing, if that's the objective. And then Krishna will be very pleased with us. He'll give us more and more intelligence to become more and inspire us more and more in that service to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom. Otherwise, we'll just float along in this material world, just hoping that we'll get something nice to eat sometime, and we'll have a nice sleep, and maybe someone will love me for some reason, and everything will be all right. And still, because I'm a nice person, at the time of death, if I couldn't, the airplane will come and take me back home. No, there's a practical. Krishna didn't speak Bhagavad Gita. Sukadeva Goswami didn't speak the Srimad Bhagavatam because it's all just a mechanical process and it happens automatically. We have to hear nicely and then accept and then try to put it into practice. And we can see how we're doing. We can watch ourselves working during the day, and that's a good idea where our minds are going by what we're doing. We can't say, I'm a devotee, but my activities are not so devotional. Or my activities are devotional, but I'm not very in a devotional mood. So both have to be there. But we can watch ourselves during the day, and we think, well, I'm going off, then we should bring ourselves back on. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, you were saying that these books are Srila Prabhupada's vibration, spiritual.
And also Krishna's.
And Krishna's. And I was thinking, like, there's these books which are somehow compiled from Srila Prabhupada's words, or somehow there's some part from Srila Prabhupada's teaching and some part from disciples and so on. Do they have the same vibration, or is it better to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books?
Well, if there's any doubt, then we distribute Prabhupada's books. Everything is there is in Prabhupada's books. Why should we worry about distributing other books for? Someone who's just repeating Prabhupada's words, then Prabhupada's there to whatever extent their realization is. But sometimes, just like we have class, so we just don't always play Prabhupada's voice. So sometimes we have literature which is meant for time, place, and audience, introduce them, but we have to introduce them to Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, they're not going to go, they'll only go as far as the speaker is. So we have other introductory literature. It should introduce Prabhupada's literature. It shouldn't stand by itself. Unless one becomes a recognized Mahabhagavata Acharya, and then even then they'll be the best in introducing Prabhupada's literature. Because there's no need to try to surpass the founder Acharya. So Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write literature, but following the disciples' succession. Does that answer your question? Well, in our book distribution, we just distributed Prabhupada's books. At least the DBC said 90-95% of the books we put up, the book distributors should distribute Prabhupada's books.
I understand this is more like other books by other disciples, but there are some books like Chant and Be Happy in Essence, which are not Prabhupada's.
They're also Prabhupada's words. They're very nice. They introduce people to Krishna consciousness. They're relevant to people. Sometimes people can understand those books because, of course, Prabhupada was talking to like the Beatles. Some people like the Beatles, but, you know, they're also had a certain type of consciousness that Prabhupada was explaining Krishna consciousness to, which is time, place, and audience. So it may be very applicable to certain audiences. Of course, if they're a 90-year-old lady, you give them a chant and be happy, they may not appreciate it as much as some other literature we might give them. Or if you give a Christian beyond birth, what is that? Not birth and death. It was one about reincarnation. What was that one? Second chance. Yeah, I mean, we have to be a little intelligent. Born-again Christian, try to get them probably better off, you know, science of self-realization, which is more contemporary than second chance. Of course, some people, you know, whatever we give them, it's all coming from, it's all spiritual, transcendental, perfect. But not everyone's going to be equally receptive to every part of it. So a little intelligence is required, too. Especially if we have a variety of books, some book, and especially if our objective is to bring people from just buying a book to bring them to the temple and hearing, you know, making further progress than just buying the book and disappearing for another lifetime. So if we're the more discriminating we are intelligently, then the better the results will be. Krishna is not giving us the intelligence because there's nothing better to do. You know, it's all haphazard, everything. Whatever you do is all going to work out the same. No, the more intelligence we have coming from Krishna, the more successful our mission will be to bring Krishna's children to Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you. How we know if we chant good?
How do you know if you chant well? How do you know? Well, three things happen when we chant nicely. One is that we're able to see things more clearly in relation to Krishna. We feel, well, the best, we listen to ourselves chanting, and if we hear ourselves chanting sincerely, calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, like a child calling for its mother and father, then we know we're chanting nicely. And if we feel some ecstasy, some transcendental pleasure spontaneously, that's even better, by remembering Krishna's name and feeling Krishna's presence. And if we start seeing things more clearly, everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, that's even better. And when we feel detached from any material things that may deviate us from continuing to chant and serve Krishna, we become detached from material allurements, that's another sign our chanting is increasing.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, when you mentioned about lower taste, that when we get higher taste, we lose attraction of lower taste. So, how can we, when we still have lower taste, restrain from grabbing this lower taste?
Well, if I say, think of translation. Okay, lower taste usually means eating, sleeping, and especially with a heavy emphasis on mating, and probably defending too. So just like if I say, think of a rose, a red rose. Rose. You know, flower, sweti. I guess sweti is flower here? Sweti? Yes, sweti. Sweti. At least in Russian, krasny. Krasny. You know what krasny means? Well, there's krasivi and krasny. Red. What's the word for red here? What's the word for red in Slovene? Red. What's that? Gardecha? With a G. Radicha. What about jolty? Does that make any sense here? Cherny will be, that will make some sense here. Black. What's the word for black? What's that? Cherna. Cherna, yeah, it says. Cherny sweti. So think of a black rose, black flower. Can you do it? Now think of a yellow flower. Can you do it? So you can change from one to the next. So we think of one thing, we can change it to something else if we desire. So we can think of something which will bring us down, which in the beginning may be just like nectar, but the end is like poison. Or we can think of something which is like poison at the beginning and poison at the end. Sleep, laziness, illusion. We can think of, well, we can change to another, you know, think of Krishna's form with a blackish form with a peacock feather, blooming eyes like lotus. But, as Krishna says, when we do that, it may be bitter to try to do that. Our mind may not accept so easily. But if we desire, then we can do that. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, for the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, said to be happiness and the mode of goodness. So if we change our minds from one thought to the next. And of course we should also change our activities, because there's activities which have caused us from thinking about the lower nature. If we watch things of a lower nature, then we'll think of the lower nature. So we should stop. We should try to do activities of the higher nature, then we won't be caught up in thinking about the lower nature. Otherwise, we may do activities which cause us to think of the lower things, and then we try to switch to think of something higher. We find it's a little difficult. It's like the elephant bathing. The elephant goes into the water and bathes in the water and gets rid of all the different dust. But then when it comes back on the land, it throws the dust again. Then wonders, how did I become dirty? It's because we're throwing dust on ourselves. So we should avoid throwing the dust. Then we won't have to worry so much about thinking about the lower nature, because we'll think of the higher nature all the time. But if we do think of the lower nature, then switch to the higher thoughts. Venam kunanda maravinda dalai taksham. Think of Krishna playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals and eyes and head bedecked with peacock feather. So think of something positive in Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Hvala, Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.